Grace, mercy, and peace to you, God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this day is Matthew 25, here again the part that reads, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' You may be seated." And also, if you would pull out your hymnals and turn to page 321 for this morning and look at the first commandment, there are 321 in your hymnals. Many of you will know it by heart, but I'm going to refer to other things as well as we go through this. 321, the first commandment, let's speak that together. "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Look at those words. Fear, love, and trust. Love is all the buzz. Love not only for those you like, but also for those that you do not like. Love for your girlfriend or for your boyfriend. Love your spouse or the love of your life. Love what you like to do. Love makes the world go round. But then we come to the next word, trust. If you don't trust, you'd go nuts, wouldn't you? You walked into this building and you assumed that the floor was going to hold you up. The ceiling was not going to collapse on you. When you sat down in the pew, you trusted that it was going to hold you up. You trusted. You have to trust. And yet we find in our world today there is so much that is not trustworthy. So many who are not trustworthy. But that first word, fear. To fear God. It has almost disappeared from our society, our culture. Many don't even know who God is. Our culture may have dropped to the fear of God, but not in our catechism. As you look at the other commandments, you find we should fear and love God. Fear and love. Third commandment, we should fear and love God. Fourth commandment, we should fear and love God. Fifth commandment, and what does this mean? We should fear and love God. On and on and on, we should fear and love God. Love, of course, that's a great word to keep, right? Trust, you need that word, but that's the one that's dropped. Fear is the one that remains. You know, you can go ahead and work all your life to avoid fear, but it creeps up on you, doesn't it? There's always something to be afraid of. It doesn't go away, especially when you come close to death that many didn't plan. Afraid. You've heard it said, in foxholes, there are no atheists. Then we back up onto page 320. There is the part of the Athanasian Creed, and look at verses 38 and 39. "And at his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those that have done evil into the eternal fire." Not exactly comforting. Is it? It only heightens the fear. In other words, when the Lord returns, there will be no atheists, there will be no agnostics, there will be no doubts, there will be no other thoughts about God. When our Lord returns, everyone will know who God is. For there is no escaping the judgment, for Jesus points out all nations will be gathered before him. And it makes no difference what religion you are all nations includes everyone, even those of us who are here today. You and I will not be left out. We will not be left in the grave. We will not be left on the counter or wherever those ashes might be. We will not be left behind. All is all-inclusive. And yet, isn't that what people are afraid of, being left behind? Writers have capitalized on this fear with books and podcasts and preaching. Don't be left behind. And they fabricate this material from Matthew 24. Then two men will be left in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. And one will be taken and the other left. And yet, is this really Scripture's perspective on who is left behind? Join us for Bible class after worship and we'll explore this more. And may I hint that the danger is being taken away and the blessing is to be left behind. You see, in the passage that we have just heard about those left behind and the one that are taken is in a context of two important passages right before and our text for this day. First, earlier, it talks about Noah. Matthew chapter 24, 37, beginning at 37, it says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be coming at the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away." Question, who's left behind? "So it will be at the day of the Son of Man." Who are the ones that are swept away? Everyone but Noah. Who is left behind? Noah and his family, right? 8 souls in all. Some would disagree, but again, remember, it is in between these two contexts and then the reading for today. The king says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the angels.' Since the cursed are set away, who is left behind?" The righteous, aren't they? Those who are with the king. The king will say to those right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared you from the foundation of the world." The righteous are left behind with the king. Who will go with them? They will go with him into, right, eternal habitation, the eternal life, into the renewed heavens and the new earth. Have no fear, little flock, for the Father has promised to give you the kingdom. But no matter how you read these texts, what is important is where you and I will end up. God wants us to be with Jesus. You see, the fires of hell were only intended for the devil and his angels. Will you and I hear those words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What does the king say? "Truly I say to you, as you did it for the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me." Those are the words that mesh with the Athanasian Creed that we read earlier. If we only had those words, it would be easy for Christians to conclude we are justified by works. It would be easy for preachers to say, "Now get to work, people, and help others." And what is it that the king declares? "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." How is it the righteous will answer? They seem oblivious to what they were doing. Lord, when did we see you? How can you be declared worthy of eternal life by works if you don't even know what you're doing or who you're serving? Dear people of God, you already know why. You have learned well Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so it is that we walk by faith, trusting that the Lord is going to do what he said he's going to do, what he promised. And then we live in his kingdom, live as he intended us to live. For as it continues in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared in advance for us to do, that we should walk in them. Prepared in advance. Your spouse is one to serve. Your children placed in your presence to serve. God has arranged it. Children, your parents, to serve, to love. Righteous living flows from faith. Works are to flow from faith. Now, objecting people have used James 2:26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. As if to say that you need works to be saved. And then go on to deny Ephesians 2. So what do? Remember again our text that the righteous seem oblivious to what they do. In other words, they trusted the Lord's promises and simply lived out that grace in their daily life. And look what happened. In the end, the Lord holds up their works for all the world to see. But then we might look at our lives and find that we in some way have failed. If not, others certainly will remind us, right? We may even find that we have withheld the good from those who brought the gospel, and fear can set in. We may feel that we need to grudgingly do what is required. And if you find these things are true, then let that fear drive you to Jesus. Faith in Jesus, faith in his promises. Our failure, our difficulty, our fear of our grudges are to drive us to confession, for we know with Jesus there is forgiveness. And with forgiveness eventually comes that repentance, that change of heart and mind. Once again, to willingly serve those whom God has placed around us. To serve them not out of compulsion, not out of grudging, not out of fear or hurt, but out of love. I know life isn't perfect. But our life in Jesus is. So it is clear on the basis of the gradual that we sang to this day. From Revelation chapter 7, then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these who are clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Once again, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb through the forgiveness of sins, to be his saints, to stand before God in righteousness and purity forever. So when Jesus comes to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, we need not fear. And when the unrighteous have been taken away, we'll be left right behind our Savior Jesus as he brings us into the new heavens and the new earth. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.